Here they come. Turn four. Final lap.
Live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Here they come, checkered flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
That's right. It is Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app as well. Chase McCabe here with you. Hope you're having a great start to your weekend. It's all brought to you by the Nashville Super Speedway. Go to one or call 1-866-RACE-TIX or go to NashvilleSuperspeedway.com to get your tickets for Father's Day weekend, June 18th, 19th, and 20th, the Ally 400 weekend. Going to be a whole lot of fun out at the Nashville Super Speedway. It was a whole lot of fun at the Talladega Super Speedway last week as well for the NASCAR Cup Series, and what a wild ride it was. And NASCAR Xfinity Series too, they couldn't even finish their race because of rain. Jeb Burton gets his first win, so congratulations to him. But Brad Keselowski, Mr. Talladega, with the current drivers, his sixth win at the Talladega Super Speedway, and he gets it done there by only leading those laps there at the end, and he finds victory lane for the first time this year. William Byron comes home second. Another strong run for Michael McDowell, who looked like he was in position to potentially win again at a Super Speedway. He's third. Kevin Harvick fourth. Matt DiBenedetto. What a run for Matt DiBenedetto. Hat tip to Matt DiBenedetto on a fifth-place finish and leading a ton of laps as well. Kaz Grala gets a sixth-place finish. Tyler Reddick, seventh. Austin Dillon, eighth. Ryan Blaney, ninth. Cole Custer rounding out the top ten. But, you know, I know Matt DiBenedetto was frustrated. He kept saying in the post-race interview, "Our day will come. We'll get there. It's just so circumstantial. Our day will come." And I believe it will. I mean, I think that he's been in that position before. He'll be there again. He's a strong racer. He's in really good equipment and ends up with a fifth place finish. But, you know, that's Talladega. That's how things shake out sometimes. And he ends up with fifth and not the win. But, you know, I do believe that it's going to happen at some point for him. So Keselowski gets that much-needed win that he'd been looking for this year. I was actually in the post-race Zoom, and I asked him the question about getting that win and where he was mentally.
Ed, congratulations on the win. You talked about winning 11 straight years. Was frustration starting to set in at all that it hadn't happened yet at this point in the season?
I mean, yeah, you get frustrated when you're not winning, and, you know, that's my job, right? I felt like we had a car to win last weekend, and, you know, things didn't come together, and I felt like we had a car to win the Daytona 500, and it didn't come together, and you start wondering, is it ever going to come together, you know? And then there's years where, you know, you run third or fifth, and race wins just fall on your lap, and you go, oh, God, it's easy. What's so hard about this? So, this has been a tough year to start because I feel like we've had some really strong runs and things have fallen apart on us that, you know, somewhat we're in our control and some not. I'm glad that we keep putting ourselves in position, and I do believe strongly that if you do that, good things will come.
You know, I said about Denny Hamlin last week when he led all those laps at Richmond and didn't get the win that it looked like frustration was starting to set in. I think that was the case, and Brad Keselowski was very honest in his answer that it was starting to set in a little bit for him of not having it, but he knew he was going to a place that he was going to perform well. I mean, they're getting into tracks now where, you know, Brad and the Penske cars, you know, they perform well. And so it's still relatively early in the season. He's now in the playoffs with that win. He can just focus on going after other wins. I mean, that's the best thing about this playoff format, especially for, and I know we've talked about, and we'll get to McDowell in just a second, but, you know, there sometimes you still have the points race, but for guys like Keselowski, you don't. Now he's in, and you can be a little more aggressive, take more chances, and try and get more wins and get those playoff points. And so he's certainly in a position where he can do that now.
having gotten that win. Denny Hamlin is still the points leader, even though he hasn't won yet. Has 8 top fives out of 10 starts, 8 top tens out of 10 starts. So, you know, things still looking pretty good there. But Brad Keselowski, he's 6 in points with the, you know, with the normal way with that one win. So he's in good shape. Now, the guy that I'm, you know, referring to that may still need a points race is Michael McDowell, because with so many different winners this year, had 10 races, 9 different winners in 2021. Truex is the only one with multiple wins. He has 2. I think that, you know, Harvick's going to break through. Chase Elliott's going to break through. Of course, Denny Hamlin's going to break through. I even think Kyle Busch is going to break through and win before it's all said and done. So if that happens, you would have, of the top 16, I mean, you have, like I said, 9 different winners. You'd add 4 more with that. If Hamlin, Harvick, Elliott, and Kyle Busch all get a win, you add 4 more, and so that takes you down to 11th. You know, Austin Dillon has been good for at least 1 a year, so he could jump in there. And then the Ricky Stenhouse, Chris Buescher are the other two besides Bowman and McDowell in the top 16. So for Michael McDowell, you know, a good finish like that certainly helps with points, and he discussed that after the race.
I would rather be in victory lane and having 2 wins. I'd really not worry about it. But it is a great day, and we wanted to, you know, score stage points and make sure that we capitalize, you know, on these opportunities that we have at, you know, super speedways and road courses and the races we have coming up, because we need the points. I'm not sure where we're at now in the points, but we were pretty close to that 16th, you know, with a win. So I feel like, you know, we're doing a good job of managing what we can manage. But winning a race and winning another race would obviously put us in a really good spot. But, you know, having Brad Keselowski check that box is not bad, because, you know, we knew he was going to win a race at some point throughout the year, and obviously really strong in the points. So that's kind of a double win for me on that aspect. Because obviously there could be another surprise winner here and in some of the other places. So, you know, if I couldn't win, I'm glad Brad was able to, because, you know, we anticipate he'll be able to win a few more before the playoffs start.
And it's funny too, that, you know, you're going, well, there are only 10 races in. Why are you talking about points? Does that really matter yet? Yeah, no, I think it always matters. I think these guys are always watching that, unless, like I said, you know, you're in the camp of, really, the guys firmly in the top 10 right now. So Hamlin, Truex, Logano, Byron, Blaney, Keselowski, Larson, you could put in that, even though he's 9th. I mean, they feel good. They feel good about their chances. Christopher Bell, who's, you know, he's only had 2 top 5s, but 5 top 10s, you know, he's still kind of looking at things to try and maybe get some better finishes. Obviously, Kyle Busch has some work to do, but, you know, I think those guys will be good, and I think McDowell's going to be good. I think McDowell's probably going to make it, but it's just the fact that you've had so many different winners this year that have made things, you know, where you gotta pay closer attention to it right now when it comes to the points, which I have said multiple times on this show that I like that. I think that makes it fun. So, certainly have to see how it shakes out. Another guy that really had a good day, William Byron. He talked about avoiding the big wreck and coming home second.
I mean, probably not. You know, I feel like first when those things happen, you know, you're obviously trying to avoid the wreck, and then that's over. And, you know, I got, you know, I guess from me trying to avoid the wreck, I got hit from the inside and spun through the grass. Luckily the splitter stayed on the car. You know, that's obviously critical. You know, that would ruin your day pretty quick. But yeah, we were able to, you know, slide up the racetrack. Luckily no one hit us. You know, good job to all those guys not hitting us. And then you know, able to nurse it around, put left side tires on, you know, put right side tires on, get all the, you know, some of the damage fixed and get it reasonable to go out there. So yeah, our guys did an awesome job. You know, it's just really just a product of being a good race team, you know, just, you know, heads up stuff about, you know, tire changes and where the, you know, pace car is, all that stuff, all those little details that kept us on the lead lap and kept us in the game. So I never really count us out if we have a manageable race car. So, you know, that was shown today. Just unfortunately at the end, nobody would really help us. So we just had to be the pusher and and try to push our way towards the front.
So there you go, William Byron with a another strong run. And I look for him to be back in victory lane again sometime soon as well. 8 top 10s out of 10 races, 3 top 5s. But I certainly think that Hendrick horsepower, they're going to get up there and win one of these things here again soon. Could be this weekend at Kansas for the Bushy McBush Race 400. Love that name, by the way. This weekend at the Kansas Speedway. You heard me reference when I asked Brad Keselowski the question about frustration setting in. He has now won 11 straight years. He's had a win. That's pretty phenomenal, and that's something that means a lot to him.
Be lying if I didn't tell you I was thinking about that. It's very special to me. It kind of gives me some chills. And, you know, I started out racing just hopeful I could have a job and, you know, be able to race in the truck series with my family. I never envisioned, you know, winning at the cup level, let alone even probably even being at the cup level. And you know, to win 6 races here at Talladega is just, it's an incredible feeling. And to have 11 straight winning seasons, that's pretty cool too. I think, is it Tony Stewart or Ricky Rudd that has the record? I don't know. I'm sure I'm a long ways behind those guys, but, hopefully we can catch up.
I think people, well, I'm not going to say everybody, but I think there are some people that lose sight just how good Brad Keselowski really is. I mean, he's always in contention. He is a former champion. He's won a ton of races. I believe that was his 35th that he's won in his career. He's now at Talladega. He is tied for 2nd on the all-time wins list. He leads active drivers, but now he's tied for second on the all-time wins list with Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Jeff Gordon. And so just 4 back of Dale Earnhardt. And he actually commented on that, was pretty quick to say he doesn't think he's going to catch Dale anytime soon.
More than I ever dreamed, I can tell you that. But I would pause and say Dale's record is so far out there that, yeah, I have a shot at it, but it's a distant shot. You know, I think, you know what, you got to get 7 before you even begin to think about 10. But still pretty cool to be on the same list with him on anything, that's for sure, even if it's 2nd.
But I think Brad has shown everybody why he's just so damn good at what he does. And now being on the same list as Dale Earnhardt Jr., that's pretty awesome. And speaking of the late, great Dale Earnhardt, Thursday would have been his 70th birthday. So April 29th, he would have turned 70. You know, if you remember when he died, he was just a few months shy of turning 50. And hard to believe, you know, like we said at the, when we started the show back in, or restarted the show back in February, that 20 years since he died at the Daytona 500. And so of course would have been 70 years old. I enjoyed watching, you know, Twitter and social media, a lot of fans posting pictures. I posted a picture of one of my diecast cars that I have that I've added to my collection recently of the black number 3. And he still is my favorite driver. And the reason that I'm a NASCAR fan, just because of how rugged he was, how he didn't put up with BS. He didn't give a crap if you hurt your feelings. It was all about winning the race. And that's something, that type of competitor just doesn't exist anymore. And, you know, I think that he would like the direction that NASCAR is going right now. And quite frankly, if he were still here, I think a lot of the things that people didn't like about NASCAR might not have, it wouldn't have happened. Now we know the safety things, you know, were a result of his death, unfortunately, but and others, you know, I can't forget the others that died too, but it would have been interesting to see. But 70 years old, Dale Earnhardt would have been on Thursday. We're going to do things a little bit different this week because, truth be told, we're not live this week. I'm actually on vacation. So if you've missed some of the great interviews that we've had in the last few weeks, we're going to give you a chance to hear some of those, and we're going to start with Junior Motorsports driver Josh Berry. He joined the show a few weeks ago, and right after his first win. And it was an emotional win at Martinsville, and he talked about that and what Dale Earnhardt Jr. has done for him. We'll do that when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are back here on Chasing Checkers. It's a bit of a best of edition this week. Some of the interviews that you may have missed over the last few weeks. Well, we got him here for you today. It's all presented by the Nashville Super Speedway. And right now, we talked to Josh Berry, junior motorsports driver in Hendersonville zone. He got his very first win just a few weeks ago at the Martinsville Speedway in the Xfinity race. And he talked about that and much more. Josh, how you doing? Congratulations.
I'm doing well. Definitely. It's been an amazing week for me, and I appreciate you having me on. Looking forward to talking about our big win.
Yeah. Have you come down from the high yet?
A little bit. I've still been trying to process everything, and it's just been amazing the amount of support we've received. And it was just, like I said, it was just a big day for me, and I'm still wrapping my head around it, maybe completely, but like I said, it was just still an amazing day.
I want to go back to the fall when, like I said, it was you guys were doing the media tour. You had just won the national championship with the late models and, you know, running all the short tracks. And when I got to you, when you were on, Dale had not unveiled to you the plan yet that you were going to be running some Xfinity races. But when you found that out, that you were going to get to move up to the national level with junior motorsports, and then all the support that Dale had given you in your career, I mean, what was kind of going through your mind as you were trying to process it all?
Yeah, I mean, it was, it was almost a shock, really, was the best way to put it. I think we had, I'd spent a lot of time with Dale and everybody that week going after we were officially crowned that national champion. And, I just wasn't expecting that. It's such a, he loves surprising me over the years I found. And, that was another great example of that. And, it's just amazing how, instantly that changes your outlook. I think, at that point I'd been late model racing and accomplishing, so much in that, and really kind of felt like that was what I was going to be. Just kind of a career short track racer that, and there was no shame in that. I was not discouraged or frustrated by doing what I've been doing. And just instantly, just with that opportunity, it just you kind of just changes the whole off season for you, just your outlook of that and what you need to do to prepare. And it was just kind of a whirlwind since there. And really the whole time, I tried not to let myself think too much, what if we win a race or what, something like that. And here we are. It's just amazing how quick things can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you go to Martinsville last weekend, and it wasn't easy for you. You had to start in the back. And the paperclip, that is not a tall task, I should say, to come from the back to the front. You lead 95 laps, beat your teammate Noah Gregson and Daniel Hemric, and get your first win. But what, take me through the whole race of starting in the back and then working your way up to the front.
So early on, really, we were just trying to be patient. We felt like we knew we would have a good car and a good opportunity, and we just really wanted to keep the fenders on it and stay out of trouble early on. And that's what I was most nervous about, going there and starting back there like that. Was I felt really comfortable about going to Martinsville, just because I've raced there a good bit and won there. And it feels nice to go to someplace like that. But I've learned, especially more so this year, just the Xfinity series and with the stage breaks and everything that they do, it creates a lot of unique opportunities to, gain track position. So I knew that my crew chief Taylor had been, we had talked about that. And I knew he had a plan of what he wanted to do to get us that track position. So I was confident that we would be able to get up front. It was just making sure the car was still together when we got up there. And then, once we were able to get up front, we could hang on.
Yeah. And you mentioned Taylor Moyer, your crew chief. He called a hell of a race too, to get you up to that point. With the way that this season is and your schedule and not running all the races, having the chemistry with the crew chief is very important. How has that worked so quickly for you all?
Yeah, I think it's worked very well. And, like you said, Taylor called a perfect race. you know, Friday night, and then Sunday finishing up. I mean, he did everything right. And I think that me and him are very similar in personalities, and just we both have a lot to prove and similar in age. And I think that just allowed us to, you know, just kind of be on the same page. And, you know, I think a lot of him, and I think he has a lot of respect for me, you know, just maybe that how I've got here and you know, the accomplishments that I have under my belt, you know, at 30, you know, I'm a rookie, but I'm at 30 years old. So we've just really, me and the whole team, I feel like have really been on the same page, and it's just a great group. And I think we're just having a lot of fun together right now.
Josh Berry is with us, driver of the number 8 Junior Motorsports Chevrolet, getting his first Xfinity win at Martinsville this weekend. Of course, a Hendersonville native. Let's talk a little bit about Nashville. You are going to run at the Nashville Super Speedway coming up in June when racing returns there. But also just a lot going on in this city when it comes to racing, trying to get things back at the fairgrounds going again. It looks like it's not going to happen maybe next year from the NASCAR standpoint, but could be in the next couple of years. So what does it mean to you, being from this area, to see NASCAR, you know, back here in Nashville, in Middle Tennessee?
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, I'm really looking forward to getting there and racing. I know that it'll be a bittersweet feeling a little bit for me, just because you know, I think it's going to be a great opportunity to go back home and for a lot of my friends and family to go to the race and watch me race. But you know, that's also right now scheduled to be my last one with this group, so I know that'll be tough as well. But you know, overall, I think it's great that they're back at Nashville, and you know, there's a lot of love for the fairgrounds, just in general, in the NASCAR community, but as well as the short track community that I'm used to, and watching racing there and how great of a racetrack and facility that is. So I think it would be amazing for them to be able to put some TLC into that place and see what it could become, because I think it could definitely be a great thing for the city of Nashville.
Is that does that help with the bond that you and Dale Jr. have, because he loves this city too? You know, he's been a big part of trying to get racing back in Nashville and at the fairgrounds. So has that kind of helped things too with your relationship?
Yeah, I'm sure it doesn't hurt. I think that's something that me and him have been you know, very close over the years, and he's done a lot of things for me. And I think there's a number of things that attribute to the reason for that, but you know, that could be another one to add to the list.
He was emotional. You know, we mentioned that earlier, but he talked about that in the press conference, and then when you went on with him in the Dale Jr. Download, he was emotional with your win. How special is that, to know that your car owner, that he's a racer himself, but and he, you know, he raced a lot of the same things that you did, but to have that investment and emotional investment in you, and to show that when you were all rewarded on Sunday with that win?
Yeah, no, that was amazing. And you know, I spoke to him. Our competition director handed me his phone, like almost right after I got out of the car, and yeah, it was Dale, and I could tell he had been emotional. And I mean, it just is just really special to me. I feel very fortunate for the opportunities that I've gotten and the things that he's done for me, you know, just over the course of the years. And you know, last year I thought we saw a glimpse of that whenever you know, we talked about how much the accomplishments that we had in the late model car, the thing, how much that meant to him. And you know, I remember being on his podcast and him saying, you know, how he never thought that we could top it. And, you know, he thought that much of that accomplishment. Well, then we go to Martinsville and win an Xfinity race. And I think that's what probably brought the emotion out of him, but it's very special. And like I said, I'm just thankful to be here and doing what I'm doing.
What do you think is going to be next for you? I mean, you mentioned Nashville will be your last race in the 8 car with Junior Motorsports, at least scheduled that way. I know you're still running the late model some, but what's kind of on the horizon for you?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I think that's something that we've been trying to figure out, I guess, what an Xfinity win for a guy like me really means for me in my career. You know, one of our key partners with our Xfinity effort this year, Tire Pros, they signed on for two additional of my races this year that we didn't have sold. So that they'll be on the car for all, you know, all the remaining races that I have, with the exception of Nashville, and that one will be iRacing. So, you know, we've already generated a little bit of interest, you know, with our partners that we have. And it's just hard to say, you know, I think for this year, I think we're going to try to finish out this Xfinity effort strong. And then I will go back running our late model, I'm sure. And we need to see what we can maybe put together for next year. But, you know, like kind of like I spoke to when we first started here, you know, you never know, that could change in a couple of days. So we're just going to keep our heads down and just stay after it.
Well, it like I said, it's been fun to watch, and you being a local guy, it's obviously great to cheer for you. Before I let you go, I do want to get your thoughts. I know the Xfinity Series did not run on the dirt at Bristol. Do you want to see that next year and the Xfinity Series run there? And, you know, you have short track experience, but I don't know about the dirt. Would that be fun for you guys to jump on that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I enjoyed the whole kind of experience of it and watching it unfold. I thought the racing was really, really good. And, you know, I think it's something that is good to do, you know, once, maybe twice a year. I don't think it's something that you want to keep it new and exciting, right? You want to kind of, that's what makes something special, is if you only do it once a year. So I don't think it's something that I want to see them, you know, jump head first into. But I think a dirt race or two, I think it's pretty exciting, and I think it drew a lot of interest, which is always a good thing.
Well, I agree with you on that. And Josh, good to talk to you again. Congratulations once again on your win at Martinsville. Find a good spot for that clock. that's one awesome trophy to have. But we'll do it again down the road, and can't wait to watch how your career continues to just go upward and upward.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
When we come back, we're going to talk to Justin Marks. He's the co-owner of Trackhouse Racing, also involved in the Music City Grand Prix as well. We'll do that on the other side here on Chasing Checkers, a best-of edition on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Rolling right along here on a Saturday in May on Chasing Checkers, Chase McCabe hanging out with you. As always, we're here every Saturday at 9 o'clock. You can also check out ChasingCheckersRadio.com, TheGameNashville.com. Subscribe to the podcast in case you miss anything on this best of edition. Now we talk to Justin Marks. He is the co-owner of Trackhouse Racing, and his driver Daniel Suarez had a heck of a run at the Bristol Motor Speedway on the dirt. We talk about that and much more.
Justin, it's good to talk to you. Thanks for doing this today.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks for having me. It was a good week.
I know. Have you come down from the high yet? I mean, I know it's not a win, but you got to start somewhere, and being a new team and just a few months in, to get a top five like that on an unknown with the dirt, I had to feel pretty good.
Yeah, I felt great. I mean, I've been telling people it's a little bit of a taste of kind of proof of concept. I mean, all of the pieces that we put together at Trackhouse Racing, our relationships, you know, our people, our equipment, just everything we've done, you know, I think we feel really, really good about, you know, all that putting us in a position to have runs like we did at Bristol. I didn't, you know, it's an element of it is happened maybe a little quicker than I thought, you know, and we're continuing to make sure that we're managing expectations. We all know that we can go to Martinsville next week or this weekend and you know, not have a great run. So it's great. I mean, I think, you know, it just gives everybody just more ability to believe, I think, in what we're capable of. So when we see Daniel going out there and, you know, not only all the work we're putting in to bring great race cars to the racetrack, but when we go out there and can just witness Daniel, you know, doing what he does with his talent, it just gets everybody excited about the future.
Daniel's one of those guys. I interviewed him a few years ago when I guess he was still at Gibbs, that, you know, and watching him come up through the ranks, watching him win the Xfinity Series Championship, it's like you said, you know, the talent's there. It's just giving him the right pieces to work with, the right equipment to work with. So why was he identified as your driver as you started this, knowing that, you know, it's been a rough couple of years for him bouncing around from Gibbs to Stuart Haas and Gaunt Brothers?
Well, that's honestly one of the reasons that we hired him. I mean, you know, I had on my whiteboard at the office sort of these core attributes when it came to really have a discussion about driver that I wanted our driver to have. And, you know, one of those is, you know, a driver that knows how to win, And we want a driver that had, you know, has experience at the cup level, just because it's just such a different ball game than any other series, than, you know, Xfinity or trucks. It's just, it's incredible. So we don't want somebody that had the experience. We wanted somebody hungry, that you know, was just really, really wanted it badly. And, you know, Daniel just kind of checked all those boxes. I mean, he's raced in, you know, he had 140 something starts in Cup when he signed to drive for us. You know, he's raced for the big teams. He's raced in Cup and he's got that experience. He knows how to win. But, you know, he had a very difficult year last year in that 96 car and was running kind of 28th, 29th, 30th every week in old equipment. And he was working hard and he, you know, got beat down a little bit, but he had kind of a chip on his shoulder. Like he need, you know, he believes in himself and wants to prove to the NASCAR Cup Series world that he can win at that level and he belongs there. And so he really just, you know, as we kind of like laid out what those sort of, like I said, the attributes we wanted our driver to have, I mean, he was really the only guy left on the board at that point. So it was, I called him and I didn't beg him, but I called him and was like, I'm not taking no for an answer.
Oh, that's fantastic. And like I said, has a ton of talent. Now, another part of this with Team Trackhouse is your co-owner, Pitbull. Everybody knows him in the music world, but getting him involved in racing. And I think that that's what's so cool about what's going on in the sport right now is, you know, you have MJ coming in as an owner, Pitbull coming in. The diversity and the fact that it's growing, the fan base is growing, and now you have it with the ownership as well. So how did that all come together?
Well, Armando's a race fan and people didn't realize that, but he's been a race fan his whole life. He saw Days of Thunder when he was, you know, like 12 years old, and he's just always paid attention to racing. So the first time that we met and we talked about this, it was interesting because he was referencing scenes in Blink of an Eye, the documentary with Michael Waltrip, yeah, and kind of these other ones. And I was really sort of taken aback. I was like, man, Mr. Worldwide, like Miami guy, you know, kind of knowing the Dale Earnhardt story, intimately knows the birth story of NASCAR, the moonshine runners and how they used to soup up their cars to run from the police and all this stuff. And, you know, he knew all that. It was kind of amazing. But, you know, so we didn't really make it unknown at all in the industry of what we were trying to achieve, what Trackhouse wanted to be. I wanted Trackhouse to be a brand that transcended the sport, a brand that was bigger than the owner, you know, bigger than any one individual, and really could be something that is just looks and feels different than any NASCAR team has. And you know, a big part of that too is our philanthropic efforts and kind of how we wanted to make an investment in STEM education for minority youth. And so through about two or three degrees of separation with our PR guy, Drew Brown, and Pam Miller, producer at Fox, you know, Armando had been doing some promotional work with NASCAR and it had gotten to him what Trackhouse was trying to be. And it's this new team and the only foreign born champion in the history of NASCAR and kind of all this stuff. And it just really, he was already interested in trying to find a way to get more involved in the sport. But when he heard our story, what we were trying to do, he's like, get him down to Miami. I want to meet these guys. And so we flew down there for a day, a few days after Christmas, we went down there and sat in the back of a seafood restaurant in a private room and in a meeting that was supposed to be about an hour or something like that. And we sat there all day. And by the time, you know, it was time to catch our flights back home, he just was like, you know, we're doing this deal. I love you guys. I love the message. And, you know, let's just figure out how to build it. And so it was very, very quick and it was very easy. And what I'm most excited about, he's been very involved. I mean, every day he's been talking to Daniel or talking to me and asking about the races. And it's just, you know, he's been to a few races. So it's been a great relationship. And I think one that's going to give Trackhouse, like I said, the brand an opportunity to do a lot of really cool things beyond just what's on the racetrack.
We're talking to Justin Marks, co-owner of Trackhouse Racing Team in the NASCAR Cup Series. So as NASCAR continues its growth and conversations I've had with others, Steve O'Donnell being one of them, I mean, you can tell that they're wanting to grow this sport. They're wanting to grow it with the ownership, with different teams coming in like you guys have been able to do. And with this new car that is going to come out next year, it's going to be in some ways easier to do that. They're trying to cut the cost for the team owners and be able to have more and maybe even more manufacturers as they move on. So how important was it, even though you've jumped in now with the current car, but knowing that new car was coming, how did that make more sense to do this now?
Well, it's one of the reasons why we're doing it now is because, you know, I've wanted to do this for a number of years, but just was never comfortable with the risk required jumping in at the way the sport's been the last few years. I mean, you know, you have to, it's just gotten so expensive. What you have to do to be able to compete is a mountain that I just couldn't really climb on my own. So when I started hearing about this new car and about, just like you said, everything that NASCAR is doing and how much conviction they have about how they're trying to rewrite this sport a little bit and position this sport to be culturally relevant for a long time from here on out. When I heard all those things, it really, that's when the light bulb went off and I said, you know, this is the time to come and do this. So, you know, we were going to debut this year. You know, 2021 was the year we were going to debut no matter what. When the pandemic knocked the next gen car back a year, the model that we had built and how we're going to come into the sport still works for this car this year. I mean, we're not building a race shop. We're not, you know, buying huge fleets of cars. We're not building a fab shop. You know, it's the way that I envision the most fiscally responsible way to come into the sport is to help, is to share some of the infrastructure that exists already in the sport. And so that's where our alliance with RCR comes in, is that, you know, I went to those guys and they've got an operational capacity that's been built out to field four cars in the Cup Series, but they only have two. So I went in and said, you know, why don't you find a way, here's a way for you to monetize the downtime and this investment that you've made. And it gives us an opportunity to be competitive right away. So where we at now is we get to build this team in 2021, build our relationships, you know, give Daniel, or learn what Daniel needs in a car, his relationship with Travis develops. We can do all this work. So when next gen comes at the end of this year, we're focused just on that car. We're not focused on trying to learn this new car and build a team at the same time. So sort of the cadence of this rollout over this first sort of 12 months of the team's life is I think really going to pay dividends down the road.
Yeah, I can't do this without mentioning Travis Mack, your crew chief. I mean, getting Daniel Suarez as a driver was a heck of a hire, but getting Travis Mack as a crew chief hire was a good one as well.
Well, the role of the crew chief, I believe, in NASCAR has changed a lot the last couple of years and is going to continue to change. You know, 15, 20 years ago and beyond, you know, these guys, they built these race cars with their hands, these crew chiefs, and they really built the setups. And so much of it now is done with engineering and simulation. And, you know, in a lot of cases, the engineers will run setup scenarios through sim and then just sort of hand the setup, so to speak, to the crew chief. And so that's not to say that obviously it'd take any of Travis's talent away, but what I really, really like about Travis is that he's such a great team leader and he's such a positive guy. And that's what we need, is somebody that can organize and motivate all the members of this team. And Daniel is so intense. He's so singularly focused and he is so intense. And Travis is like always smiling, you know, let's have fun, guys. And so the combination of those two is really, I mean, you're seeing that with kind of what we're doing on the racetrack right now, is that it's that was always my goal, was to find a pairing of people that can motivate each other, that can help each other's weaknesses, empower each other, just all that. And I think the combination with Travis and Daniel does that really, really well. I mean, Travis is like Daniel in that he's young and he's hungry and he believes in his heart of hearts that he is capable of leading a race team to victory lane in the Cup Series. And so, you know, it was another guy that I went after pretty hard. I just loved his personality. I loved his drive. And obviously he's, you know, he was with Hendrick for a long time and still stayed in the Hendrick family. And just the way that Hendrick does things, to be able to bring that kind of experience to Trackhouse is incredibly valuable.
When we return, we'll wrap up this best of edition of Chasing Checkers with the Hall of Famer and former champion, Dale Jarrett. I had the chance to speak with him when I was out at the Nashville Super Speedway a few weeks ago. We'll do that on the other side. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, The Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe here with you. And about a month or so ago, I had a chance to go out to the Nashville Super Speedway for a tire test, and one of the gentlemen that I sat down with was Dale Jarrett, of course, of NBC Sports, but the Hall of Famer, the 99 Cup Series champion. We got into all things going on in the sport and
returning to Nashville.
DJ, good to see you. Good to meet you. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Just glad to be back here in Nashville and know that, you know, we've got an upcoming race here, and I think it's a great area and really excited for the prospects here of not only a great show, but something really good for the fans.
I'm pretty sure I saw your son Jason race out here.
Yeah.
Either the Truck Series or the Busch Series. I can't remember when it was, but back in the first run. And so, yeah, it's good to see some racing back out here. And I was talking to DW earlier. I guess you two probably raced against each other out at the fairgrounds back in the day.
Yeah. Actually, I had the opportunity to only run a couple of races there. But it was DW was in the race, and so we did that. And you know, what a great venue that was. But, you know, when this was built, I think that everybody was excited that, you know, something different, something new. And you know, we saw a lot of really good Xfinity races over the years. When I retired and went to work for ESPN at that time, we covered the Xfinity races here and saw some really good racing. And I just think that, you know, it's exciting to throw something new. This 2021 season is bringing a lot of new venues and a lot of new things, but this is just one more of those things. And I think that we've got the right idea of, you know, not only are we going to good racetracks that has the potential to show us exciting racing and showcase these drivers' talents, but we're also giving the fans a destination place, basically. And I think that's the most important thing that we've done through the schedule is getting these fans opportunity to go to places that offer them a lot more than just being at the racetrack.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned NBC Sports, who you work for now. It'll be the first race of their slate of the Cup Series and the whole weekend. That's what's going to be cool is you guys get to kick off your season by coming to Nashville.
Yeah, looking forward to that. And what a great way to kick off our 2021 side of the season and get things going. I think that we're all excited to be here. And I know the one thing that I'm looking for, you know, in 2020, as crazy as it was for everyone, but certainly within the sport of NASCAR racing, you know, I went to one racetrack and wasn't even allowed in the garage area, and that was Indianapolis, our first one. So we're all excited the prospects of getting back to the racetrack, enjoying things around the track, and even though it still will be a little bit different, you'll be here and be a part of it, because, you know, it's just not the same sitting in a studio in Charlotte, you know, covering a race and being able to see and smell the smells and hear the sounds of a real race going on, and then, you know, seeing fans back in the stands.
As someone that's been around the sport for as long as you have as a driver, and of course your dad, Gentleman Ned, a driver as well, and to see the evolution and where we are now, and just people got back on board, it seemed, during the pandemic when the sport came back, and they've stuck with it, and we're seeing this new car coming out. How cool is it to see NASCAR really go back to its roots, and Nashville being a prime example of that?
Yeah, I think that's what we're seeing is the biggest thing is we are getting back to the core of this sport, what made it so popular to begin with. And I think that's really, really important. And we can't lose sight of what got us there. You know, you always want to expand and do things bigger and better, but sometimes you lose sight of what really made everything happen. And I think we're getting back to that. I'm excited and very interested to see about that new car in 2022. Yeah. What that's going to bring for the drivers, what it's going to do for the competition. I know that, you know, technically, it's going to save the owners tons of money, so that's going to be a good thing. I hope that it's going to bring the competition even closer, even though, you know, it's hard to beat the competition that we've seen so far in 2021. So a lot of good things happening, but the new venues that we're bringing back, you know, the diversity that we're seeing, I think, is just so great, and just really excited about things going on.
Thing that I like is being an old school racing fan is, you know, you were a Ford guy for a long time, seeing the competition with the manufacturers, and, you know, maybe there's more coming down the pike, but, you know, between the Chevys and the Fords and the Toyotas, like it means more. The old adage of win on Sunday, sell on Monday seems to be back.
Oh, it sure does. And I think that you have that little bit of rivalry between them, and that's a good thing to see and to have. You know, it works great within the sport. You know, it's great to have that extra competition in the fans like that. You know, one thing when I was growing up around the sport, and of course my dad was with Ford Motor Company for a lot of years and won championship for them, and then as I moved in to the world of driving, yeah, that was the one thing that I saw with fans. As you changed manufacturers, some fans didn't go with you, because if you were going from Chevrolet to Ford, you know, they were a Chevrolet people. That's what they wanted. And so, you know, they might not kick you to the side completely, but their allegiance was with that manufacturer. And we've seen, and I think that one thing we're going to see, I always get concerned whenever we have big changes with cars, and with the new car coming in 2022, I think that everybody understood and realized the importance of keeping that look of and understanding that we can't make this an IROC series where all the cars look the same. You know, we have to keep that Ford, Chevy, and Toyota presence out there for the fans, because as you pointed out, you know, it's a big business, and they're in this for a reason. You know, they love the competition, but the biggest thing is that they're looking to sell more cars.
Absolutely. My first car was a black Chevrolet, so that should tell you who I was a fan of back in the day. What do you miss the most about driving a race car?
Yeah, you know, there's just nothing that takes the place of that competition. There's just you're always going to have that void, and I think that. You kind of know that in the back of your mind, that you've done the most exciting thing you're ever going to do in your life, and I think that's why we hold on for as long as we do, because there really is nothing to take that place. And you know, I've been in competition all my life, from playing sports growing up and then getting behind the wheel of a race car. And the thing that I miss is getting out and just competing to beat everybody else, you know. I thought that I could, you know, I love to play golf, and I thought, well, I'll just transfer that over to the golf course. And you know, I'm not good enough at golf to take that to that level. And so that's the thing that I miss the most is not being able to compete at a high level for that top prize.
How impressed have you been with this young crop of drivers as we shift into a different era now that you've seen, you know, yourself retire and Dale Jr. and Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, they've stepped aside, and now you got the Chase Briscoes and Christopher Bells and, of course, Chase Elliott, the defending champion. What do you think about those young guys?
You know, they're coming into their own now, and it's good to see. I think it was about 3 years ago, possibly four, that NASCAR made this big push to, you know, we're gonna promote all the young guys. That's what we're doing, and kind of leaving the veterans out of the marketing side of it, and kind of, you know, irked a few of them, understandably, because, you know, I mean, you know, they didn't even put Kyle Busch in there, and he was still a very young man at that time, but he was very experienced because he'd been around for a long time. But I think that we saw that they weren't ready to take the reins just yet at that particular time. You still have to have some experience in this, and what we're seeing now is that coming along with these drivers, and Chase Elliott winning the championship last year is a perfect example of what that experience does, and we're going to see more of that. You know, and you've got people, young drivers like Kyle Larson, and you talk about Christopher Bell. There's nobody more talented. Chase Briscoe getting the opportunity. So they're getting the opportunities in really good equipment early on, and that makes such a huge difference for them to make a difference. And you have to have that. You always wonder when you see a group retiring and it starts coming, you know, you talk about Gordon, you put a Matt Kenseth in there who was a champion and Daytona 500 champion, and you know, you could just go down the list of those, and who's going to replace that? You know, how's the sport, how's the face of the sport going to be? But it's really good right now because of this group that we have. They're entertaining. They're fun to watch. Ryan Blaney is as good a person as you'd ever want to meet, winning last weekend at Atlanta. And so these are the kind of things that we really need to keep happening because we've promoted them, we've built them up, and now they're starting to take a little bit more charge and giving the veterans all that they can handle.
Absolutely. Well, Dale, it's good to have you on. Appreciate the time today. Good to be out at the racetrack, and we'll do it again soon.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
That is going to do it for this edition of Chasing Checkers. For those of you that are wondering about Sunday Money, follow at Chasen_Checkers on Twitter, at Chasen_Checkers on Twitter, and we will give you Sunday Money there. I'm actually going to be in a sports book watching the race, so I'll be able to share some insights, some BetMGM odds for you. So tune in on Twitter at Chasen_Checkers on Sunday, and I'll do Sunday Money there. We'll be back at it again next week. Again, check out the website, ChasingCheckersRadio.com or TheGameNashville.com for all of your racing stuff and the podcasts, videos, all of that. We're back at it at 9 o'clock, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and The Game Nashville app.